This June, the people of Papua New Guinea will go to the polls to decide who will represent them in their national parliament. It is hoped that after this election, the number of women serving in the national parliament will significantly change. Right now, and this has been the case for the past 5 years, there are no female members of parliament. And over the course of Papua New Guinea's independent history, there's only been 7. Given the documented benefits of having women in parliament, it is vital that this election sees that number rise. Hello, and welcome to the AusPNG Network's Women in Politics series, a Lowy Institute podcast where we talk about Papua New Guinea's pressing issues for women seeking greater political representation. My name is Jessica Collins, and I'm a research fellow here at the Institute. And I'm very excited to welcome my guest today, Damaris Bonga, who is currently a female candidate for Papua New Guinea's upcoming national election. Damaris, welcome and hello.
Thank you, Dr. Collins. It's an honour to be on this interview. It means a lot to us.
Thank you so much. Now, Damaris, I'm always interested in people's pathways into politics. So let's start by hearing your story. What was your life and career like before announcing your candidacy?
Thank you, Dr. Collins. My career in politics has started since 2007. That's when I made a choice to run a contest for the regional seat in Oro Province. And that's where my political career has started. And after the campaign, I didn't make it through because during the time when I voiced about women's leadership in the parliament, a lot of people didn't really understand. And they didn't think that women could be better politicians than the male politicians. And they didn't really see what I was seeing, that I saw there was no representation of women in parliament, and therefore there wasn't any ways for the woman and decision making. Women were not part of it, and therefore I've seen a lot of things that were going totally wrong in the decision making, where there is check and balance using whether we had opposition and government, but the ways of a woman. I strongly believe that that was missing out in the parliament, and we needed that so much. And so my career that started in 2007 with my campaign was basically on why women should be elected in parliament, giving them the equal opportunity to be there, to voice a lot of issues that's affecting the nation, and why women should be there, because we feel there are agendas and affairs that we need to also be part of the decision making. Unfortunately, the voters didn't come to my liking, and I never made it through, but that never stopped my journey in politics. Because my previous 20 years was in the mining exploration company, and so after that election, I had to leave Burke. I was taken back into the mining sector by Xstrata to work for the company up in Frida River. And I've moved around a few mining companies until it came to 2013 that I was called by the current governor for Oro, and it's Honorable Gary Juffa, to manage his office at the parliament. And so it started again from there. And when I started working for Governor Gary Juffa, and for the 9 years I worked for him, while working for Governor Juffa, I held senior positions, and one of them was I was appointed to the provincial assembly in the province as the women's appointed representative. And my focus and my job descriptions were basically on the women and youths. So I was working with the women, especially those in the very remotest and the village communities, looking at their programs and how best the government can partner with the women to ensure that women receive the services they needed. So within that 9 years, I've learned a lot of things. And I've come to really realize how women make that change while they are given that opportunity, whether be it at the local level government or at the provincial government or be at the national government. Yes, so that's where my career in politics have started. And the reason why I'm now looking into contesting against the male politicians, it's because of the suffering that people have faced. Road infrastructures is even worse in Papua New Guinea. There is no link, there is no access to roads. The health services are very poor. Some aid posts have really closed down that makes mothers and people, you know, some of them, because there's no road access, they have to float through making rafts. They make rafts to travel through the rivers to get into the nearest health centers. And it's really painful seeing a lot of our people suffering through such services that is not delivered to the people. Yes.
Sounds like you've got some really challenging work ahead of you, Damaris. I just wanted to talk about a little bit more about that moment when you realized that you wanted to run for office. Were you working for Governor Jufa at the time? And what was it like telling him or the people around you that you were interested in becoming a candidate yourself?
I was last with the governor's office in 2021. Around December, I had to resign. I was actually working as the women's wing to his political party, the People's Movement for Change Party, and also managing the party office. Unfortunately, I had to leave Governor Jufa's office because I was UN Women in political academy. There was an academy for women in politics, which UN, the Australian government, and New Zealand have supported to establish this foundation, which is a new. It's very historical, I would say, in the history of Papua New Guinea, because we've never had any women in politics academy until UN came in the scene to establish that with Pacific Institution of Government and Administration, which is currently, we are the first cohort or pioneering that particular academy now. So among the 600 applicants, there were about 19 of us who have successfully been selected to attend the academy for women in leadership and politics. And I was chosen one of them. That was the reason why I had to leave the governor's political party to come and take further training. And we're currently being trained at the Pacific Institution of Government Academy. And that's 19 of us. Among the 19 of us, there's five of us who'll be contesting in the current election in different provinces and districts. Yes, and we are graduating on the in April, early April. I believe our last session would be on the 4th to the 8th, and we graduate within that time.
How fabulous.
Yeah, that's the reason why I had to leave the governor's office, but I actually informed them that I'm contesting. Unfortunately, the party couldn't endorse me because they have already gone ahead to have another person who's now running the same seat I'm running.
Well, congratulations on getting into that course. It sounds like a really valuable time for you. Tell us about the course a little bit more. What sort of things are you learning there? What sort of skills are you hoping to gain? And how difficult was it to get in? You said that 19 women out of 600 applied for this program. So what did it take for you to get accepted into this course?
Well, UN had its own criteria of selection. But I believe because most of us who are in the academy are women who are elected because we had previous experiences, and even some of them are ward councillors, and women who are holding leadership roles right at the ward levels and at the local level government, most of them would be appointed women representation representatives, and myself, with the experience in the provincial government as a women's rep, been appointed. So I believe the selection was very fair. Why? Because the very people who were faced with challenges and who are very much suffering are the very people who are sitting right at the ward level. And talking about that, no development has reached the people in the ward areas. It's development is only taking place in the urban areas, well as the local level government is totally out of the scene, even if that is one part of the government that is structured under the constitution. Unfortunately, it's not happening. And with the fair decision of the 19 of us attending, and because we have been trialed on to further the training, I believe it's something that's it adds value to those of us who are there attending the college. Yeah.
Fabulous. Now, I'd like to talk a little bit more about being in a political party. You said that you weren't able to get into or get endorsed by Governor Juffa's party. Is being a political party an endgame for you? Is it something that would really significantly help your success in this election?
It may be or it may not. I would say that for me, I prefer running independent. Why? Because it helps you to really bring the message down clear to the people, to make them understand why you need a woman in parliament and the reasoning to why development has not reached them. And UN study has given us the foundation of governments and leadership. And I've really come to see a wider gap in the development process, why it has not reached the people. And that's the whole reason why at a point where I'm making decision to run independence, but would be better if a party comes in to rescue me, because as long as the party has the same vision that I have, and why we need party, it's because we need financial backing to support us logistically to get to very remotest parts where we need to reach the people. And that's something I'm betting on a party to come and endorse me. But my heart is to run independently because people really need to know why previously real development has not reached us. And we want to tell the people why they should really give the chance for women to represent them in parliament. So we see women making change, you know, if women are given the chance to be in the House of Parliament. So I'd really like to get that message down to the people independently. But again, like I said, I also would need a party because I need their backing financially to start running the campaign to very remotest parts of PNG, especially the district I'm running for.
And you've got your personal approach to, or your personal perspective on why you think it's important for to join a political party. Let's talk about women now. Do you think that they would benefit from joining a political party in order to get that financial support as well? Is that something that is important for women in helping them become more successful in the election?
Oh, yes, yes. We've had a lot of parties coming, endorsing a lot of women now, and especially for the urban setups as well as the provinces and districts now. So parties have now come to support women, and that's the good thing.
Fabulous. And what about Governor Juffa? I mean, he was your former employer. He's now going to be in a different party to you if you're independent or you join a different political party. Is he generally supportive of you running for parliament?
Well, I haven't directly spoken to him, but I've spoken to the general secretary, sent him a WhatsApp because, actually they didn't know that I was contesting for one of the district positions, seats. And the general secretary asked me, knowing that I was graduating in April, and asked if I could go back and work for them again. But I told him that I had something I needed to discuss with him. And I've made it known that I was contesting for the district seat. And asked if they could endorse me as the female candidate under the party, because I've served the party for quite a long time. It's like 9 years. I've contributed so much to the party, and the party has become like a baby to me. And so I asked if they could endorse me, but the general secretary said, unfortunately, they couldn't endorse me because they've already have a candidate. And that's a big letdown for me.
Mm, I'm sure it is. Well, let's turn to the campaign. Give us a sense of how the campaign has been going. You're in a rural area. What has it been like preparing for the campaign, and what is it like out there on the ground at the moment?
Well, for this month, it's been a pre-trial. Most of the awareness programs been going out. It's really a mixed feeling for the people, having to talk to them as groups and individuals, trying to find out their views on the campaign coming up front. And it's really confusing for the people at the moment. Why? Because they've voted leaders who've run on the parties and who have made great promises and commitments to the people that they will bring road accesses and health and education sectors. You know, all of the big noise the many politicians have made in the past. And people believed to vote for these leaders, and their commitments have not been honored. And so the people have just come to a still where they don't know who to vote for, and that's the way they're looking at. And it's really becoming so hard for people to choose the right leaders. And then that's where the women are coming in. So women may have their chances to, we may have chances for women to come in, because, you know, the people are saying that enough is enough. We've done, voted for men leaders. They've done nothing for us. They've made too many commitments. They've never honored. Let's try a woman this time. So that's the message I'm picking up from the people now. So I'm seeing that the campaign for women and election for women, there may be 50-50 chances for women to come into parliament.
Okay, so we're going to talk more deeply soon about why women are having trouble getting elected. But first, I'd just like to ask you, do you think that rural candidates have a harder time than urban candidates when it comes to campaigning?
I would say it's the same. It's the same because, you know, in politics, in PNG, it's quite different. They cannot see. They think that the parliament is, they normally say it's house man. In talk pisin, meaning that it's a house for men. And that's kind of biased, you know, this that has caused indifferences for people to really see the importance of women in politics. I see the same in urban. Urban campaigns, a lot of people would never focus more on women, but they are more focused on men. And the rural campaign, there are changes, because the women in the rural areas, they get to, well, for now, for this current campaign, previously, women took the messages, like my experience in 2007, when I spoke about women representation in parliament, they never really picked the importance of why women should be in parliament, and women were never voted. But in the current, looking at the way the current wave is coming for women in politics, it shows that people have come to realize that we need women to be equal participants. So I would say at the rural areas, it may be changes, but not in the urban. That's just my own opinion to the way I see things happening, balancing the both rural and urban.
So at the last election, around 5% of the candidacy was female, but that was still over 150 people. So out of 3,340 candidates in total, 150 were women. That's a significant field to be going up against. And if we put that in relation to Australia, at the last election, there were around 1,500 candidates, which is half of what Papua New Guinea typically has. But Australia's population is three times that of Papua New Guinea. So the difference is marked. What is it like to vie for votes when there are so many candidates to compete with?
Dr. Kellins, that was one of the areas I pointed out here. And I said women challenging the male politicians will look at now the voters. It comes back to the voters. And definitely what you're saying, it's true. We're going to really have a split in the voting voters now. And I don't think so anyone would go above looking at the common roles. Example, the district I'm running for, it will only have 56,000 plus voters to vote. And if there's going to be around 50 candidates coming through, then we have a split. So someone may not get one of the biggest margins. It would be just around someone picking up around 2,000 voters to win. So it's really going to be very challenging, but depends on how the particular candidate starts going and strategizing themselves in this campaign. I'm sure they will run through. So it's going to be very tough and challenges, and that comes back to the voters.
So what do you have to do to get noticed in such a big candidate field?
Well, in Papua New Guinea, it's like you've got to have a foundation set. You've got to go out, like in Pidgin, they say you must get hand mark, meaning you must have placed the mark somewhere for people to recognize your leadership. If you've done nothing, for example, those women that live in the cities who are thinking of contesting, and you've been rolling out a lot of programs in the city, you've been funded by the government, they should really reach out to the women in the rural areas. If you're thinking of running in the rural, one of the rural seats, then if you happen to go back and start contributing in women's programs, youth programs, any development agenda, if there is water that needs to be brought in, and if you know how to gain fundings to bring that down, that is recognition of a leadership that people will always bet on you, that because you've done it before, you can do it. So they're all looking at testimonial of leaders who already have saved the community. So that's how I see voters now going to start voting. But again, there is money play that comes in the scene in politics, with very greedy, high-powered political parties who think they should be in power, and they play money. And that becomes the real advantage and challenge for those good candidates who are now going to start moving and talking to the people why it's important you should vote them. So yes, it's really going to come down to how candidates and who are coming under the party, who have the money to now come against those who are running independent. And very good people missed out in this because a lot of money is played to bribe votes.
Mm. And what about safety on the campaign trail? Does that influence how you run as a woman?
Oh, yeah. Security has been always one of the issues. But like I said, if you are one person who have worked with youths and you have all your coordinators who have the standing in the community, you will never go wrong. Because I've done campaign for Gary Drufa, being a woman, and moving into very remotest parts to get scoping of the area and get the rallies moving on. I've seen people so helpful and friendly and working together. Except the opponents we had were those who were coming, the candidates who were coming against the governor. So that was where we've seen it. But yes, there is always respect in the nation with people. In the urban, no, but in the rural areas, people are very friendly. They have committees, the place is set up in a way they give everybody fair chances for any candidates to come and build their campaign strategies and the platforms they're running. So yeah, really it's like people are so friendly and always wanting to hear every candidate. So the community's leaders take over and they start planning the whole campaign before the candidates come down. So it's very different from the rural setup than from the urban.
We've heard also before that it can be sometimes difficult for women to get the support of community and family when they consider running for election. Part of that being that there are perceptions in some households that women have roles that aren't linked to leadership. Can you just comment on this for us, please, and talk about the support that you've had from your own community and family?
Some women didn't have the support from their families. One of the things is that, you know, in my own experience, in 2007, when I was very young, 35 years that time, when I wanted to run for regional seat, my family and my friends and the community thought that I was inexperienced and I didn't know what politics was all about. So I'd never had the support from my community that time, to be honest. Only few voted for me, well as the rest of everyone voted other candidates. And that was pretty sad. But then I didn't blame them because I was young and coming into the political scene. But with my 9 years with Governor Jufa and being the women appointed women's rep, I've served my community in their needs. I've always been there for them. We've set the Yeben Youth Foundation, which starts from Ward 1 to 11, and the ward, I see the youths now coming to support it. So yes, having to look at it, it's how we go down and help our community, taking back the knowledge we have and imparting, using that knowledge to provide mentoring, provide whatever little services they need. We've always been there working with the women and the youths and the community and whatever we can do to support. And when we do that, with looking at now, I've seen my community backing me up. Even my family is 100% putting their time and effort to make this happen. Because, you know, everyone's saying, we've done it, we've voted for other leaders. Let's vote our own because we've suffered enough. Maybe our own can hear our voice, our cries, our services, and they can deliver. And if we can do that, we can also do for the rest of the province. So that is how the support has been overwhelming within the family. So I get to see that it's just us as individuals to really go down and help our people, especially those who are right at the village communities, because they need us more than us sitting in our comfort zones. And at the end of the day, we run there and seek for their vote. When they were in need, we were never there for them. So that's how we get real support from our communities and our family. But that's something I've really seen. So you'll see a lot of women say, oh, you've been all this time in the city and now you're coming looking for campaign for us. You sat on the comfort zone. You would have come and helped us with this. So you'll see the negative part of women wasting it because we've never been there when they needed us. Yes. But for me, the support has been very overwhelming because I've just been that one voice for the woman. I've helped the youths and the women in the province, and that's and through the program that I've rolled out, I could be honest today to tell you that Honorable Jufa's 2017 election, 37,000 first preliminary counting, and the win that came through was all that I've put through for the women and the youths today. And that's a great victory for Oro Province.
Yeah, well, it's really fabulous to hear that you're getting such great support as well for this election coming up. I'd like to turn now to what your vision is for your time in Parliament. We've heard about what you want to do in the development space, and you're obviously very passionate about having women in Parliament. I'd like to ask you whether you would support, as part of the legislation reform agenda, reserved seating, or raise the debate again about temporary special measures to have reserved seating for women in Parliament, or whether quotas in political parties would be something you'd consider debating too?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's been one of the push every one of us have been, as women have been pushing for the reserved seats to be legislated and the bill to be passed, because it's been shelved too long. We have a lot of male politicians that really do not understand why it is important for women to be there. And we feel that it's one agenda that as women, when we are there, we want to push for this. One of the other areas that I see is, you know, we said we should really have a political party for women. So with all the struggles that women are going through to seek funding, we saw another look through as forming a political or establishing a political parties, but that for women, but that may not happen through the political parties. And that's something we are still doing research on. But yes, we'd like to see that the 22 reserve seats or the 5 reserve seats could be legislated and that bill has to be passed so it's given fair change. That may be not, we may not understand why not a lot of political male politicians have voted against that, because maybe they're just too scared that when we have women politicians in the parliament, they might now think of holding most of the senior posts. But yes, we'd like to see that the bill for the reserve seats are passed. And if political parties can have a bit of their party legislation, if it could be changed to give women the fair chance to be in the parliament and especially to the reserve seats.
Yeah, so clearly it's an important part of the agenda. What else do you think would be helpful for women to help them, not just in this election, but in the years to come? Do you think that there are more government-led programs that would help or community-led programs? You've mentioned the academy today. We've also got Carol Kidu, I've heard, is on the road helping women to get elected, and that's really important to have women with lots of experience in parliament helping new women to come through. What's your view? Are there other ways that we can get women interested in being elected and getting over the line and being successful in this?
You know, the UN Academy, being coming out from that, I see that capacity building is one thing that the women really need. They need to really understand the government processes and procedures, how leaders can, in terms of project planning and all of that, need to be taught. Women need to be properly equipped to be able to be seen equal around their male-dominated politicians. And also, if programs, one of the things I see where women can be very successful, it's those of us who have already have foundations and programs we are already implementing within the cities and within the urban setup. If we could really reach out rurally, especially government policies, if we are also already been involved, can we be able to reach out to the very remotest and rural areas where the women and children and people are that need those services? And reaching out in terms of development agendas, bringing it right down to the people, it would make a great difference. Also, another thing that we've been really talking about, it's having a women's political party. And we see that as a driver to drive the woman in the politics in the near future. That may not happen if the political parties doesn't allow it, as I said, but at least seeing, you've mentioned about Dame Carol Kidu, who's now mentoring and running awareness for the re-elections of women and elections for women. She's done so much for the nation, and we see it as a role model for women now. But really, I'd like to encourage a lot of women to really bring programs right down to the very remotest part, because those are where the voters are. You've got to start basing your programs and your development agendas right down to the people, so that way people recognize you.
I'd just like to finish up now with one final question. Do you have a message for any women aspiring to become a candidate in future elections? What sort of advice would you give them?
Well, my advice to the women of this nation is let's work together. You know, that's the only way we can achieve. Women voters are there. If we all can put our heads together, hands together, let's voice one. All provincial, all district women leaders, we all need to come and create one voice. When we stand together, we create that power to win this election. If you're going to isolate yourself and start doing things your way, you know, it's a LPV system that we are using. It's not past the past post. We have the 1, 2, 3. So my 2 may be very important for you if you don't partner with me. So it's really for women to now come together and say, and that's what's happening now. Women have, for this time, women are now coming together. We are now talking. Women are now talking. Unlike it was before, you know, I had to do it my way and you do it your way. And that's always been the failure. I want to encourage all Papua New Guinean women, if you think we can make it, if you think we can make this change, let's come together. Let's run together. Let's join hands together because we believe we can make it. I mean, 48.6% population of women in this nation need us. They can vote us. If we run as one vote, and that's going to be the power behind us winning votes because we have women. I've seen that. I've seen women power. I told Gary Jufa, I said, you know, I want to promise you, 2007, women of Oro will usher you back into parliament. And exactly that's what happened. The women voted for Gary Jufa. So I can see that if we Papua New Guinean women are really serious for this nation and the development of this nation, the very people who have suffered, who are at our heart to move, we need to come together and work together and move together to see that 50% of the women come into parliament this election. So that's my message to the women of this nation.
Damaris, that is such an inspiring message. We wish you all the very best during the election and into the future. Thank you so much for taking the time to discuss such an important and engaging topic with me today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the OzPNG Network's Women in Politics series, a Lowy Institute podcast developed with production assistance from Darcy Milne and Josh Goading. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to joining you for the next episode.